Good evening. This is Orson Welles, your producer of a special series of broadcasts presented by the makers of Pabst Blue Ribbon, the Mercury Summer Theater of the Air.
Tonight, and every Friday night, Pabst Blue Ribbon presents you with a front row seat in America's favorite summer theater. So, while America's famous producer, writer, director, Orson Welles entertains you, pour yourself a tall, frosted glass of Pabst Blue Ribbon and enjoy at the same time great entertainment and this truly great beer.
We bring you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, two love stories. The first, a family portrait. And if you've ever watched the kind of old couple that holds hands during a band concert, if you've ever listened to the affectionate arguments held on the wide verandas of a certain sort of resort hotel where the old folks squeak in their rocking chairs and watch the sun go down over the world, you'll recognize, I think, and welcome this hero and this heroine. The author had the sharpest pair of ears in his century, which is ours. His name is Ring Lardner. And his loving record of a holiday in Florida, part one of our broadcast, is called Golden Honeymoon. Mother says that when I start talking, I never know when to stop. But I tell her, what did God give us tongues for if he didn't want us, we should use them?
He didn't give them to us to say the same things over and over.
Well, Mother, when people is like you and I and been married 50 years, you expect everything I say will be something you ain't heard me say before? Well, it may be new to others, as ain't nobody else lived with me as long as you have.
You can bet they ain't, as they couldn't nobody else stand you that long.
Well, you look pretty healthy.
Maybe I do. I looked even healthier before I married you.
You can't get ahead of Mother. We was married 50 years ago last January. Come mighty near getting a divorce in February. My daughter and son-in-law was over from Trenton to help celebrate the golden wedding. And Edie, that's my daughter, says she didn't know why we stayed up here in the cold. Why didn't go to Florida for the winter? Well, make a long story short, we decided to do it. We left on the 12th of January at 3:23 p.m. Mother sat facing the front of the train as it makes her giddy to ride backwards. I sat facing her, which does not affect me. We reached Philadelphia at 4:03 p.m., Baltimore at 6:30, and Washington, D.C. at 7:25. We laid over there a couple hours. I went for a stroll, come back, found Mother scared stiff. She thought I'd got left behind. Well, I said, I would have followed you on the next train.
Yes, you would. With me having all the money?
Well, we're in Washington, and I could have borrowed from the U.S. Treasury. After another day and night, we got into St. Petersburg, Florida at 8:20 a.m. You'd think there was a riot.
That's it. Bus right to the best hotel.
Step right in every room with the bath.
None better than a Fun City Hotel.
None better.
There you are. Room with a view.
Step right in, none better.
Well, it's a good thing we've got a place picked out to go to.
Why?
Well, it'll be hard to choose amongst them if every one of them is the best. We went to the address that my son-in-law gave us and introduced ourselves to the lady that owned the house. She was a young widow of about 48 years of age.
This would be your room. It's nice and airy. And you have your own washstand.
How much is the bad news?
$12 a week.
I guess I will survive the shock.
Don't pay no attention to Pa. He's always getting spry around a pretty woman. Makes him feel like a young man of 60 again.
He can't get ahead of Mother. Well, $12 a week ain't much, and we was only three blocks away from Williams Park. Some place, that park. There's a big bandstand and chairs for folks to sit and listen to the concerts, and all around there's places for games, chess, checkers, badminton, horseshoes, whole shebang. Mother and me bought a membership in the club. Cost $1 for the season. Mother listened to the band, as she is a sucker for music. And me, I played checkers. about eaten. We found Nau's cafeteria and ate most of our meals there. Averaged about $2 a day for the two of us, but the food was good and everything was nice and clean. A man don't mind paying the price if things is clean and well-cooked. On the 3rd of February, we spread ourselves and eat supper at the Poinsettia Hotel. It was Mother's birthday. We had sirloin steak.
It don't look very...
For 5 cents.
Looks hardly big enough for one.
Well, I guess a good thing every day ain't your birthday, or we'd be in the poorhouse. You can't get ahead of my mother. And things went along quiet like this till one day at the park, I was playing checkers and Mother was listening to the band concert. And the woman next to her opened up a conversation.
Nice music, isn't it?
Yes, I enjoy it.
Where are you from?
Jersey City. And you?
I'm Mrs. Bragham Hotson of Kilsdale, Michigan. Of course, I'm originally from Alabama.
Well, you could have knocked Mother over with a pigeon feather. Frank M. Hartzell was the man who was engaged to Mother till I stepped in and cut him out 52 years ago. Well, four of us had dinner, and then we went up to our house, sat in the parlor. Mother was very apologetic.
Miss Hartzell, I'm scared you find it tiresome listening to we three talking over old times.
Oh, no, not at all. I've heard Frank talk quite a bit about his old friends, and so it seems as though I know most of them, although not quite so well as I know my own friends, of course.
Well, as it turned out, Mother didn't have no need to apologize. I have heard a lot of women that could go it, but Hartzell's wife takes the cake of all the women I have ever seen. She told us the family history of everybody in the state of Alabama and Michigan, and she would have been going yet if the clock hadn't broke.
The clock sounds like it's busted.
Either that or it's horrible late.
Well, we'll run along. We'll see you again, won't we?
How about some cards tomorrow night? You play whist?
Oh, yes. Come to our place.
That's what we did. We played cards with him, with Mother and Hartzell partners against his wife and I. Me and my partner certainly got the worst of it. All in all, we played about 10 times. There was only one night when Mrs. Hartzell and me come out ahead. That night was no fault of hers. Hartzell got feeling pretty good about himself. But I took it out of him one morning in the park. He foolishly offered to play me checkers. Didn't have a chance. A crowd of folks who usually watched me play began to pass off remarks.
Whoever told you you was a checker player?
You might maybe be good for tiddlywinks, but not checkers.
I almost felt like letting him beat me a couple of games. But the crowd would have noted it was a put-up job. Of course, the women folks joined us after the massacre, and I wasn't going to mention it, but...
Well, Charlie and I had a little game of checkers, but I'm no match for him. Not me.
Well, checkers ain't much of a game anyway. It's more of a children's game, ain't it?
Yes, ma'am. It's a children's game the way your husband plays it.
Maybe there's other games where Frank can beat you.
Yes, I bet he could beat you pitching horseshoes.
Well, I'd give him a chance to, and I ain't pitched a shoe in over 16 years.
Well, I ain't played checkers in 20 years.
You ain't never played it.
Now, Pa, just for that, you pitch horseshoes with Frank.
And you know, Hartzell was the luckiest pitcher I ever seen. He had some pitches where the shoe lit 5 and 6 feet short, and then schoonered up and was a ringer. There were some hard points in my horseshoes. Just when I was getting my distance, my thumb got to bleeding, so I had to quit. Hartzell said the score was 19-6, but I don't know what it was. They wanted us to play cards again that night, but I was sick and tired of them, and I tried to get out of it.
What's the matter, Charlie? Afraid you'd get beat again?
I ought to tell him why we got beat.
I could never lose a game of cards if I always had Lucy for a partner.
Well, you had a chance 50 years ago to always have her for a partner. And you wasn't man enough to keep her.
Well, you must have had something stronger than tea to make you talk that silly.
She was just trying to smooth things over. I was sorry the minute I said it. Hartzell, he didn't know what to say. And for once, his wife couldn't say nothing. We didn't see him again. As soon as we got to our room, Mother began to scold me.
You'd ought to be ashamed of yourself, talking that way to Frank.
I guess he's such a wonderful pitcher and card player that you wish you'd married him.
Well, at least he ain't a baby to give up pitching because his thumb has a few scratches.
Well, if he's so great, why didn't you marry him?
I almost wish I had.
I wish so, too.
I'll remember that.
That's the last word she said to me. For 2 days. Then we was in the park sitting on a bench. We made up while the band started up a nice wall.
Listen, Charlie. This is our golden honeymoon. We don't want the whole thing spoiled with a silly old quarrel.
Well, do you mean that about wishing you'd married Hartzell?
Of course not. That is, if you didn't mean that you wished I had, too.
Well, I was just tired and wrought up. I thank God you chose me instead of him, as there's no other woman in the world who I could have lived with all these years.
Yes, you have needed a woman with a great deal of intelligence and understanding and patience.
Like I said, he can't get ahead of Mother. That was Golden Honeymoon, a love story by Ring Lardner, part the first of the Mercury Summer Theater's offering for this Friday. Part two is another love story. And Mercedes McCambridge is the heroine of both. But just for a minute now, here's Jim Amici advancing front and center to say a few brief words on the subject of tempers and temperatures.
Frankly, friends, it's mighty hard to keep in good temper these days of high temperatures, especially when your dealer can't come through with all the Pabst Blue Ribbon you'd like. But please, we beg you, be kind to that kindly man behind the counter. He's doing his best, and so are we, in spite of the shortage, to get you your share of this truly great thirst quencher. And we can assure you that every single bottle of Pabst Blue Ribbon you do get will be, as always, the happy blending of never less than 33 fine brews. Yes, every drop will have that perfect Pabst Blue Ribbon flavor. Not too heavy, not too light, but fresh, clean, sparkling. So, please keep asking your dealer for it. It's worthwhile asking for. Blended Splendid. Pabst Blue Ribbon. And now, Mr. Wells.
Well, if there's such a thing as a happy ending to a love story, Golden Honeymoon was it. We can't promise you as much for part two of this broadcast. Boy gets girl in every melodrama, and in the melodramas, boy and girl live happily ever after. But when love itself is the central theme, happy endings are rare indeed. And of all love stories, the most famous makes no break with this tradition. We bring you now, with all possible pathos, a few of its final and best-regarded scenes. We pick up this pair of star-crossed lovers. At the last moment, they are destined to enjoy together. He's been ordered into exile for the killing of her kinsman in a street brawl. And for a parting moment before banishment, he is stolen by night into a bedchamber. But now it is already dawn.
Wilt thou be gone? It is not yet near day. It was the nightingale and not the lark that pierced the fearful hollow of thine ear. Believe me, love, it was the nightingale.
It was the lark, the herald of the morn, no nightingale. Look, love, what envious streaks do lace the severing clouds in yonder east. Night's candles have burnt out, and jocund day stands tiptoe on the misty mountaintops. I must be gone and live, or stay and die.
Oh, God. I have an ill-divining soul. Methinks I see thee as one dead in the bottom of a tomb. Either my eyesight pales or thou look'st pale.
And trust me, love. In my eye, so do you. Dry sorrow drinks our blood. Adieu. Adieu.
Recognize the words, but to ensure your memory of the plot, the lover now goes off to exile, and his lady, forced by her family into marriage with the young Count Ferris, drinks a sleeping potion, that she may be taken for dead and laid away in a burial vault, where her true love may come and rescue her. He comes, as she had planned, but never learns that she is only sleeping. Having purchased poison, he takes it and breathes his last by her tomb. For never was a story of more woe than this of Juliet and her Romeo. Trust the flattering truth of sleep. My dreams presage some joyful news at hand. My bosom's lord sits lightly in his throne, and all this day an unaccustomed spirit lifts me above the ground with cheerful thoughts. I dreamt my lady came and found me dead. Strange dream that gives a dead man leave to think and breathe such life with kisses in my lips, that I revived and was an emperor. For me, how sweet is love itself possessed, when but love's shadows are so rich in joy.
News from Verona.
How now?
Balthazar! How doth my lady? Is my father well? How fares my Juliet? That I ask again, for nothing can be ill if she be well.
Then she is well, and nothing can be ill. Her body sleeps in Capel's monument.
Is it e'en so? Then I defy you, stars. Thou knowest my lodging. Get me ink and paper, and hire post horses. I will hence tonight. Get thee gone, and hire those horses. I'll be with thee straight. Well, Juliet, I will lie with thee tonight. Let's see for means. I do remember an apothecary, and hereabouts it dwells. Meager were his looks. Sharp misery had worn him to the bones. Noting his penury to myself, I said, and if a man did need a poison now, here lives a caitiff wretch would sell it him, as I remember this should be the house. What ho! Apothecary!
Who calls?
Come hither, man. I see that thou art poor. Hold. There is 40 ducats. Let me have a dram of poison.
Put this in any liquid thing you will and drink it off. And if you had the strength of 20 men, it would dispatch you straight.
Come, cordial, and not poison. Go with me to Juliet's tomb. For there must I use thee.
Count Paris, who was to have married Juliet, comes by night into the churchyard, bearing flowers for Juliet, but hearing the approach of Romeo and his servant, he hides himself to watch.
What cursed foot wanders this way tonight to cross my obsequies in my true love's rite? What, with a torch? Muffle me night a while.
Give me that mattock and the wrenching iron.
Yes, sir.
Whate'er thou hearest or seest, stand all aloof, and do not interrupt me in my course. But if thou jealous dost return to pry in what thy father shall intend to do, by heaven I will tear thee joint by joint and strew this hungry churchyard with thy limbs.
I will be gone, sir, and not stopping.
Thou detestable maw, thou womb of death, gorged with the dearest morsel of the earth,
Thus I enforce thy rotten jaws to open, and in despite, I'll cram thee with more food.
Stop thy unhallowed toil, vile Montague. Obey and go with me, for thou must die.
I must indeed, and therefore came I hither. Good gentle youth, tempt not a desperate man. Put not another sin upon my head by urging me to fury. Oh, begone! By heaven, I love thee better than myself, for I came hither armed against myself. Stay not, begone! Live and hereafter say a madman's mercy bid thee run away.
I do defy thy conjurations and apprehend thee for a felon here.
Wait, thou provoke me, then have at thee, boy.
Oh, I am slain. If thou be merciful, open the tomb. Lay me with Juliet.
In faith, I will. Let me peruse this face. Mercutio's kinsman, noble County Paris. What said my man when my betrothed soul did not attend him as we rode? I think he told me Paris should have married Juliet. Said he not so? Or did I dream it so? Or am I mad, hearing him talk of Juliet, to think it was so? Oh, give me thy hand. One writ with me in sour misfortune's book. I'll bury thee in a triumphant grave. A grave? Oh, no. A lantern slaughtered youth. For here lies Juliet, and her beauty makes this vault a feasting presence full of light. Death, lie thou there, by a dead man interred. Oh, my love. My wife. Death, that hath sucked the honey of thy breath, hath had no power yet upon thy beauty. Thou art not conquered. Beauty's ensign yet is crimson in thy lips and in thy cheeks, and death's pale flag is not advanced there. Oh, dear Juliet, why art thou yet so fair? Shall I believe that unsubstantial death is amorous? And that the lean, abhorred monster keeps thee here in dark to be his paramour. For fear of that, I still will stay with thee, and never from this palace of dim night depart again. Here will I remain, with worms that are thy chambermaids. Oh, here will I set up my everlasting rest, and shake the yoke of inauspicious stars from this world-weary flesh. Eyes, look your last. Arms, take your last embrace. And lips, oh, you the doors of breath, seal with a righteous kiss a dateless bargain to engrossing death. Come, bitter conduct. Come, unsavory guide. Thou desperate pilot, now at once. Run on the dashing rocks thy seasick, weary bark. Here's to my love. O true apothecary, thy drugs are quick. Thus, with a kiss,
her darling.
Just performed for you three scenes from William Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. I'd like to tell you about next Friday's broadcast. But first, a word from Jim Amici.
First, let me again remind you to be patient with your dealer when, occasionally these days, he's unable to supply you with all the Pabst Blue Ribbon you'd like. He's doing his best, you can be sure of that. Yes, and here's something else you can be sure of. Every single bottle of Pabst Blue Ribbon you do get will, as always, be the happy blending of never less than 33 fine brews. Yes, every foaming, frosty glass you enjoy will, as always, have that famous Pabst Blue Ribbon flavor. Not too heavy, not too light, but fresh, clean, sparkling, with the real beer taste coming through the way you like it. So keep asking for blended, splendid Pabst Blue Ribbon.
We'd like you to join us next week, ladies and gentlemen, for several more of these broadcasts on this special series. We hope you enjoy them. If you are enjoying them, we'd appreciate it much if you'd write us about it and tell us what kind of story you'd like us to do for you. We have enough time left to represent most of your choices, at least for the sort of thing you like to hear us do. So please just write us a postcard or something. You don't have to suggest a title, just a tone. Thanks again for listening. Please join us next week. Until then, I remain, as always, obediently yours.
This program came to you through the courtesy of the Pabst Brewing Company of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, makers of blended, splendid Pabst Blue Ribbon.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.